As soon as I saw her, I grabbed a towel and I told her to get the hell out of here, and she did, and that's it. Nothing happened, and I know you know that nothing happened in there.
She saw you come in out of the shower naked?
And I was mesmerized, and he gave me the look.
She saw you come in out of the shower naked?
I was speechless.
She saw me naked for 2 seconds, okay? For 2 seconds, and I grabbed a towel, and that was it.
How do you think that makes me feel?
Well, after that salacious introduction, produced by my partner, Dario Pop Passarelli.
Oh, don't give me the credit. You got to give them the credit.
And I am your host, Big Al Alexander K. Lee. Little different introduction for us there, Pop.
Oh, it's soap opera, isn't it?
Well, I'm flustered after that. I'm flustered after listening.
I'm a little warm here under the collar.
I just removed a button.
Thank God I'm not looking at you.
That's a heck of a storyline, isn't it? This whole verse. Look, I know a lot of people hate it. I know a lot of people hate when the WWE gets soap opera-y. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's good. For me, I think it's good. But
I've always claimed that wrestling was soap opera for men. So, it's there. As long as they don't drag it out too long, I'm fine with it. I'm actually fine in terms of rolling with it. And what I mean by that is, again, am I the only one who feels sorry for Rusev and all this?
I don't think you're the only one who feels sorry for Rusev at this point. I think all of us feel a little bit sorry for Rusev. As far as we know, Rusev has always been a loyal partner.
Well, yeah, except he kind of says that women have a certain place to hold, which we don't agree with at all. But he kind of did mention that Summer Rae knows her place, right?
Oh, I'm not saying he's respectful to women at all.
Okay.
But he is respectful in one regard, and that's that he seems faithful.
Faithful, loyal, doesn't cheat. That's right, as far as we know.
Ziggler, on the other hand, he gives off a little bit of a skeevy vibe, doesn't he?
Well, and I'm going to take him at his word for it, because I rewatched Raw, and I remember Summer Rae saying that, Dolph Ziggler stuck his head out of the locker room, called her in to discuss the four of them. But if you saw that interview earlier with Summer, with Renee Young, you actually see Summer Rae walking into the locker room on her own. So she lied there. Did you know that? She lied. Summer Rae lied. And that she walked into the changing room on her own. Dolph Ziggler didn't call her in.
You have scrutinized this footage.
I did. And did you see the way Summer Rae was fawning over Dolph's body? That's why I feel bad for Rusev. Forget about what Dolph Ziggler may or may not have done in that changing room when they were alone with Summer Rae. But I'm just saying Summer Rae was just completely fawning over Dolph Ziggler, how, the shower was glistening on his body and everything like that. I felt bad for Rusev. I honestly felt bad for Rusev.
Do you think Rusev, deep down, is just sort of a insecure little boy? Do you think he's maybe was a late bloomer in life as far as getting big and bulky and strong, and that maybe there's that little guy who was still bullied back in Bulgaria? Or
are you saying that his massive physique is compensating for something?
Yeah. Eventually he was beaten up as a kid and he hit the weights, and suddenly now guess what? He's the one who's busting heads.
Exactly. But you have your Hollywood tan blonde Dolph Zigglers in the world that still wind up getting whatever girl they want.
We need to pair Rusev up with a nice... He needs less blonde women. We all love a good... We all love a nice blonde lady. But I think he needs to... he needs to meet a nice down-to-earth girl.
I got somebody for him.
Pause.
Sara Lee. Nice, cute, simple.
My...
She doesn't have to learn how to wrestle.
No, not
right?
at all.
So, right. I mean, I think that's perfect. There's a new valet.
Please, WWE. Vince, again, Vince McMahon, who, as we've mentioned many times, is an avid listener of As the Heel Turns. Vince, let's make this pairing happen. We are officially shipping. Are you familiar with the concept of shipping, Pop?
Yes, I was much older than you. I know what shipping is.
Do you know shipping in television entertainment terms?
Okay, explain to me and I'll tell you whether it was or not.
Shipping is this...
FedEx, that's shipping to me. I don't know what else.
Shipping is this internet phrase when people watch a show. What's a TV show you watch? You watch a lot of shows, but
Game of Thrones, that's a good one.
If someone said they wanted, man, I really hope Daenerys and Jorah get together, then you're a Daenerys, like ship is short for relationship. So you're just like, oh, you're a Dany Jorah shipper. That's just a phrase people use.
Where does that even come from?
It's just a short form. It's just because people don't want to say, it's a short form of saying, I want to see these two fictional characters in a relationship. So it's just, I'm shipping them. I ship Dany Jorah. You know, again, it's just everything being shortened.
There is a complete lackadaisical. Oh, wait a second. I think I understand what you mean. Uh-oh. So when somebody like is trying to say, like, you know, there is a fantastic, superb, come from behind sort of victory last night for the Toronto Blue Jays, you say something like, they porked it. Like, what the hell does shipping have to do with anything?
Wait, what does?
That's my point. It means nothing whatsoever.
I just explained to you. It's the short form of relationship.
Shipping.
Anyways. We are officially declaring that As the Heel Turns is shipping. Sarah Lee, Rusev shipping. If there's any Photoshops out there that people have already done of Rusev and Sarah Lee together, please, not those kind of Photoshops. I mean,
why are you looking at me when you say that?
It's not my. I know where your mind goes.
No. See, I was going something differently. See, in my day, what we call, we're going to push for this. We're going to promote this. We're going to get petitions and sign. That's the old, you know.
Remind me to use the account after this to just immediately tweet shipping that we're shipping Rusev. So that would be amazing.
Do you think that would work? I mean, I just think like her tiny little kind of figure and her
and he's a monster.
Diminutive, demure nature would be, and it would work because she'll never be unhappy because she's always smiling.
Yeah, and she'd be smiling even more if she's with a gentleman, an old-fashioned gentleman. He's got like 1920s sensibilities when it comes to treating women. So, and that's not all bad.
No. Like I said, I think it'll work, and I think and it will hide her deficiencies in the wrestling ring.
Yeah. You know, and much again, like Lana wasn't ready yet. Who knows? Oh, by the way, and that's the other problem people have with the storyline is the inevitable payoff for this match a Lana Summer Rae one-on-one encounter whether it be on Raw or some special event?
I don't want to say anything yet. I don't know how much more you want to spend talking about this particular segment, but I look at it and go, like, we are under the understanding, and I'm going to say belief because I don't know this to be true for sure, but I'm under the belief that there's some apprehension, it's a good word there, some apprehension on how Lana and Summer Rae can wrestle.
Oh, as there should be. Because, I mean, Summer Rae is good, but I wouldn't, like, let me put it this way. Summer Rae probably couldn't have done what Alicia Fox did in the Tough Enough finale.
Okay.
Right, which is to take someone who has pretty much zero experience and at least carry them through a 2-3-4 minute match. Okay. Like Alicia Fox is a lot more. Alicia Fox, I think, has been with a company for almost, I think, 7 years now, maybe more than 7 years. So I know people out there don't think Alicia Fox is a great wrestler, but I guarantee you she's very experienced, very professional, and you know, that's why they picked her for the Tough Enough thing. Summer Rae probably couldn't do that. I think, you know, I don't think Summer Rae's bad, but she's not great either. You put it in there with someone like Lana, who's really just probably a notch above Sarah Lee and Amanda.
Exactly. Still extremely green.
Of
right?
course you're going to get a bad match. So, but I feel like there's no other way to resolve this because Ziggler and Rusev have already battled 2 or 3, 4 times. I don't know. But.
Well, here's my problem. And I think it may have to go to an intergender tag team match where, you know, you tag one in.
Oh, there we go.
Right. And I think it will come to that. But here's my point, and here might be a launching pad. And once I say this, I'm going to duck under the table because, one, Mr. Alex Lee is going to start getting extremely upset. And
are you
rightfully
insult
so.
Paige?
No, I'm not going to insult Paige.
Oh, it's fine.
I will insult the Divas Revolution.
Oh, you mean what I call the Divas Revulsion?
Yes. Exactly.
Right?
Chalk one up to Mr. Lee.
Look, hashtag Divas Revulsion. People get on this. That's another hashtag. So we're hashtagging.
But
hashtag Sarah Rusev. Hashtag Divas Revulsion.
But here's my point. My point being is that with Lana and Summer Rae, right now we've got no athleticism per se, but we got a storyline.
Oh, fans are 10 times as invested in the Lana Summer Rae drama, as silly as it is, than they are the Divas Revolution.
And why is that? Because they spent time developing a story.
Yeah, there's a story. Lana has a strong character. Summer Rae kind of piggybacked on the Rusev Lana stuff, and now she's got a character, you know, more of a character herself. This Divas Revolution, boy, we harp on it every week, but I was so infuriated by the histrionics from Monday that it just, I texted you right away. I was just...
Oh, yeah. The texts themselves were scathing.
I was beside myself, much like a Bella twin, for example. I was like I had an Alex Lee twin.
I mean, first of all, you capitalized everything, so I know what that means. I'm not that old that I don't understand what that means. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I hate to say that whatever they're accomplishing inside the ring is losing its effect because of the fact that there's nothing behind it.
That's right. So just to recap the latest update, they had a good idea on Monday to have a beat the clock challenge. For anyone who doesn't know, beat the clock is a series of matches where potential contenders for a title wrestle with a timer, and whoever wins their match the fastest gets the title shot at whatever the next event happens to be. So in this case, this was the first ever all-women's beat the clock challenge, so very cool. Now, Pop, you pointed out correctly, though, that, wait a minute, this is just an excuse for them to give us short Divas matches like they used to all the time.
Which we were complaining about all the time in the past.
So,
one quick question. You mentioned that, though. When did you find out that they're having a Beat the Clock competition?
I think they mentioned it some sort of, you know, they usually preview Raw on, WWE.com, but I feel like they mentioned it earlier than that, like either the week before, maybe on SmackDown or something.
I don't recall.
Somehow I knew about it before it happened.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm glancing at some website.
I'm just thinking I don't pay too much attention to SmackDown necessarily. But I thought something like that, again, like it should have been pre-thought of.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it looks like they thought of it between last Raw and this Raw.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Well, here's the thing is, Beat the Clock is the ultimate booker. Whoever came up with the Beat the Clock is someone who wanted to go to lunch early because it saves you having to come up with a storyline for a contender.
Same one that came up with Team PCB?
It's Team PCB. Yeah. You just say, well, okay, these people are generally in the mix for this title, and let's just put them in the Beat the Clock, and there we go, done.
And we'll pick Charlotte out that way.
Get a sandwich, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm fine with the Beat the Clock thing. I was even fine with the short matches. I thought the ending was very clever. Paige was wrestling Sasha Banks, and I like the story they told because even though they've wrestled before and Sasha won, which I thought was strange, Paige, in storyline purposes, should theoretically be stronger than, like, you know, more accomplished than Sasha. She's a two-time champion.
She should be the number one contender.
Right. This is the whole WWE NXT divide, which is always strange to me. Like, NXT is supposed to be developmental, and yet they keep bringing up guys and almost presenting them as equals to the main roster. So it's a tricky line. And don't get me wrong, some of these people deserve it, like Owens, Neville, Sasha Banks. I get it, but you're walking a thin line. It would be like, you know, them bringing the Jays bring up someone from like AAA and having them dominate right away, which is rare.
Very rare.
Yeah, unless that person's been in, you know, if they're like 28, 29, they've been in the minors, they're in their prime.
Those are specialty cases. Sure.
So, in this case, anyway, I like the story they told this time. Paige just went right at her. She had to win her match in, I think, a minute and 40 seconds.
Correct.
Some people were complaining that, oh, Sasha looked weak because Paige was kind of tossed beating her up. And I'm like, Paige should be beating her up. Again, in story, she's the strong, quote-unquote, stronger diva.
More experience, yeah.
And then there was a nice ending where she hit her with the Rampage DDT, and then Team Bad pulled Sasha out of the ring so that she couldn't beat her, which I thought was clever. I actually liked that. Now, the only problem, I always say the only problem, that's a phrase I've got to stop using. One problem is that Nikki Bella comes out after. They've got this Bellatron timer. I think something to that
makes me laugh.
Oh, boy. And I'm like, this is a good idea to have a timer. It's annoying. It's a good way to generate heat, right? It's like, boo, you know, boo your timer. Until you realize Charlotte ended up winning the Beat the Clock Challenge to get a title shot at Night of Champions.
And Night of Champions is when?
Night of Champions, I don't remember the exact date, but it is after Nikki Bella's reign will already have broken her record that she's boasting about. So thus, there is, since Becky, Charlotte, and Sasha have been called up, none of them have even challenged for Nikki Bella's title. And the whole purpose of the storyline was to stop the Bella's reign at the top. And now they don't even seem to care that she's going to, make this huge achievement that she's been taunting everyone about. That makes no sense, and it makes all the divas, including Nikki herself, unfortunately, not her fault, look stupid. WWE Uncreative, what are you doing?
September 20th. And if I'm not mistaken, the Bellatron had like 14 days?
2 weeks, so 14th.
It comes
September 14th.
Is it a Raw as well?
It'll be a Raw. So I have faith in WWE on creative that they are not so stupid to realize that maybe they should push the title shot up. She doesn't even have to lose it.
No, and that's the thing. Right? Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's not a matter of her having to lose the belt before that time to keep AJ's record intact.
Yeah, let her have the record.
I almost understand why they may want to kind of have not AJ have that title. But for her not to have a match, you have all this influx of women coming in for, when did they come in? Like 2 months? Almost 2 months. Hasn't been 6 weeks? 7 weeks?
Probably 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
Yeah. And when was the last time that beloved Nikki defended the belt, actually?
I have those dates here, Dario. Her last official defense was at a live event in as part of the SummerSlam Heatwave Tour. This was July 12th. And the last televised event. So
do you know who that was against?
I'm looking at here. It was a three-way match with Naomi and Paige.
Was that at the in Japan?
No.
Okay.
But that was the last televised event. That's the last defense that most of us saw. That was July 4th, the Beast in the East event, and it was Paige and Tamina. Now, I'm not just saying this because I don't like the Bellas, which I don't. But frankly, this whole storyline, like I said, it also hurts Nikki. Why does it hurt Nikki? Because it's like they don't believe that she can, like, why couldn't she have had a one-on-one match with Becky at the last pay-per-view? Do they not have faith in Nikki that she can have a good match with Becky? Because I know she can. I know she could put on a credible title defense. So why these silly multi-person matches? And why couldn't she defend the title against Paige again on a Raw? Just, you know, a token defense, just to keep the storyline going so it makes sense. You know?
It's one of those things where, I mean, I thought they did excellent in terms of bringing a whole influx, I say a whole influx of women into it at once. And then it was like, oh my God, we have to almost treat them equally. That's why we have these, you know, 3, 6, 10 mm-hmm. Women matches. And then, you know, we don't have enough time to divvy it up and have these separate. But again, without anything backing them up, without any kind of storyline, you know, it just, like, I would have been so much better if there was much more advanced notice about this Beat the Clock coming up. I would feel so much better if this Monday they announced, you know what, we understand that Charlotte is going to have a title shot with whoever the champion is at Night of Champions, but there's no way we're going to let, you know, you're going to run the gauntlet. I use that word a lot. But, you know, you're going to face Becky, you're going to face Paige, you're going to face Sasha, you're going to face whoever else is on bat. You're going to face somebody.
Yeah, if you want Stephanie McMahon intervention, this is the time. She steps, like just like you said, exactly what you said. She steps in next Monday and says, you know, Nikki, we set up this fancy graphic for you, but at the same time, we want you to earn it.
What? But, yeah, but not even if they say it next week, then at least do it like...
She has two chances. And SmackDown. You can use SmackDown.
And I'm worried. I'm worried that it'll be like, you're going to have to face that challenge tonight. Again, no promo, no...
Oh, you know, no. Like if they just use Charlotte, like if the Charlotte title defense? No. Well,
I'm not sure. I don't think it'll be Charlotte. I think it might be somebody else. But my whole point being is that it's got to... You have to give some life to it. You have to give some time for people to breathe and soak it in. Right, you just don't drop the day before SummerSlam and say, by the way, Undertaker's going to face Brock Lesnar.
Right.
No, you have to build that up. Yeah. But to me, what it seems like with this women's event, the whole problem with it is that they don't give anything a proper time to breathe. They just throw it in a mixed pot and then let it settle.
Yeah, it reeks of slapdash. Now, let's get to Charlotte for a second. So, obviously a great wrestler. She's a decent promo. We wouldn't know that she's a decent promo based on what we've seen on her appearances on Raw so far, where they have her clearly reading, you know, pre-written dialogue and then making some sort of flair pun. And that's it. That's all we know about her character. And there's no reason for anyone who hasn't seen her on NXT to be invested in her. If you're the majority of fans who only watch Raw or SmackDown and don't watch NXT, all you know is she's Ric Flair's daughter. She's a good wrestler. And you wouldn't even know she's that good of a wrestler based on the matches that they put her in.
And she's acrobatic. I look at, you know, amazing athlete. What do we know about her and Becky Lynch? And I'm just going to use the two of them. Well, no, we do know something. Like I said, I look at, since we hardly hear them talk, we see them wrestle for a little bit. They both can wrestle. Fair enough statement?
Yep, everyone knows that.
Okay. Yeah. I see Charlotte walked to the ring. She has an air about her. Back straight. Walks, you know, calmly, like she owns the place. Very cool.
A flair about her, you might say?
Oh. I was okay, this is where I set it up. I volley it up. Boom, Alex Lee spikes it.
I'm terrible.
Spike Lee, gotta like it. Anyways, you know, she walks down to the ring. She does that acrobatic flip just before she enters. And you go, wow, you know, that's fairly impressive. And then you have Becky comes out. Love, first of all, her coat. Love those goggles, whatever the hell it is. And she comes out with this, like, energy. Right? Love the idea that she's called the last kicker. Beautiful. She has all these things going for her. I even love her accent. I'm a sucker for that. So we do know some things about them. But God, that's not enough.
That's
it's like, okay, give me more. And they haven't delivered on that.
No, unfortunately. So, you know, that's just several of the problems with this whole, again, Divas Revulsion. Hashtag Divas Revulsion. I honestly feel like the fact that they flubbed these call-ups so badly, and I know you're going to say I'm nuts because things in the WWE...
You're nuts.
Thank you. The things in the WWE move really fast, but I feel like they've almost... It'll take them like another 6 months to potentially get this back on track. I think they had a chance. I think the window was there, and I think they blew it.
And that's right. And I don't know if there's any particular reasons in terms of why they did or didn't do some of the things, because... No offense, Alex, but man, you're no rocket scientist, and neither am I. So I'm looking at this.
I am a rocket scientist, actually. I did minor in rocket Scientology.
Right. But I'm looking at this going, you know, Triple H and who's ever booking it, you know, they're not dumb people. They don't make mistakes like this because, you know, they've hit enough home runs that I follow in terms of what they do. Like, there's something, I always keep feeling that there's something else that's happening that's beyond us that we don't know that's causing it. But I liken this to when Vince McMahon bought out WCW. Prime, great opportunity to do something phenomenal. And for the most part, the consensus is they flubbed it.
Yep, flamed out. Yep. It could have been more. It just could have been so much more.
Oh, it could have been... Yeah. Could have been good. Yeah. Let alone
however much money was made and however many good moments there were in there could have been 100 more good moments and millions of dollars more to be made.
And I keep hearing that there were several possibilities that they were mulling over.
Mm-hmm.
And at like the last second, they went away from one and went on to the course that they wound up taking for whatever reason it was. So I'm wondering if they had all these things planned here for the Divas Revolution, and then for whatever reason, something came in and went, no, side turn. And it developed into the absolute mess that it is now.
Whatever the reason is, I hope they fix it quick. I liked your suggestion last week that they, you know, form sort of a anti-authority group, which again, you know, I'm sort of tired of authority storylines, but it'd be nice to have one based around a female group for once, because that's, you don't see that very often. The other thing is, I think we all know, just based on the crowd reactions and also her amazing work in the ring, that Sasha is really the future of this division. I love Paige. I think Charlotte and Becky are great. Sasha she has the star power. If any of them is going to be a star, boy, I think it's going to be her.
She is otherworldly.
Yeah, and I think inevitably her team will turn on her. I think Naomi and Tamina will turn on her, which is great. Very good, simple storyline. I just wish they would give them their... Hopefully that at some point this whole multi-woman fiasco breaks up and let them have their own storylines. Like, it, you don't see all the men being clumped into one storyline, right?
Right.
But it's just because they brought up, you know, suddenly it's like, oh, we have these 9 talented women. Instead of giving people their own storylines, we have to put them all together. There's only, excuse me, like, there's only so much time. And I'm like,
because it's usually only the one match and the one storyline going on.
Yeah,
but
you have 5 hours of programming every week to create storylines for individual groups. But
and they could do, like I said, it shouldn't take up too much time as long as it's done right.
Either way, good luck to Charlotte at the event coming up. She's going to need it because, again, who knows what's in her way. And also, there are some outside-of-the-ring distractions.
Some unfortunate
yes.
outside-of-the-ring distractions, especially for Charlotte.
Yes. We're going to use this to segue into our next segment here, Pop.
Go ahead.
So, Charlotte, I was not aware, is still separated from, but married to, former TNA star Bram, anyway, who's in trouble for domestic violence. So, you know, I some people were saying that they thought Charlotte was off on Monday. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, that to me sounds like people just saying that.
Reading into a lot of things, yeah.
So, you know, but either way, an unfortunate story and one of sort of many wrestling-related
unfortunate
law problems that seem to be coming up in the news over the last week.
That was, and we'll get into the whole segment later, but even I was surprised Monday night that Triple H wasn't there and then realized afterwards why. And he had to deal with
all
this.
You were saying Stephanie was out there. Why wasn't Triple
defending
H?
Herself, yeah, so defending herself, defending her man. Why wasn't Triple H here? Because certainly he can do it on his own. But yeah. So what? Well, we wouldn't be doing our job right if we didn't go into it. So we first had the, as you mentioned, the domestic abuse with Braun. And then we had the incident at the, do they call it the Combine?
The Performance Center.
The Performance Center, where, for the most part, Tough Enough was being filmed. Is that correct?
I was going to say, obviously, the first thing I thought when I read the story was, is Sara Lee okay? That was number one. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
particular.
I hate to make light of a potential tragedy, but was Sara Lee okay?
Right. And so what happened was that this is not the first time, but there was a man was shot outside the complex, and by obviously another person. And it took a little while for the story to come out, but the bottom line was that there's this man, a bit of a crazed lunatic, who kept coming in trying to stalk one of the divas.
Yeah, not just that. He had also apparently many times, they were very familiar with him. He many times had shown up saying like, oh, they should hire him, that he was challenging the wrestlers that were there to fight. So they knew who he was.
And they had a ban on him.
Yes.
Or not necessarily a ban, but they had security there, extra security specifically for him. For a few weeks, and then for last week it wasn't there, and the man had come back. This was Sunday or Monday, because that's when I heard about it. And apparently people had called the cops because they say that he was brandishing a knife, a weapon, and two plainclothes policemen had approached him and said to back away and to leave. And he wouldn't leave, and he started walking after them, and they kept backing up, like almost like 75 feet. They said they backed up, telling him not to advance any further and to just leave. And he kept approaching them, and then apparently they shot him.
Yeah, you know, I in the wake also of last week's or whatever, the recent shooting of the two reporters in Virginia.
Correct.
This is just another thing where it's a mental health issue, you know, and I always feel it's important to push these things. Like, I don't know this guy's situation. I don't know how he ended up this way, how he got to this point in his life where he was finding himself at the Performance Center and behaving in this way. But, you know, I don't like to condemn people and say the last thing I hate to say in these situations is so-and-so was a psycho or so-and-so was crazy, because Even with that SOB who killed those two reporters, like,
right,
and then killed himself, you know, so there's some point there where, you know, you wish that this person could have gotten help in their lives, but you reach a certain point where if they don't get that help,
what can you do?
What can you do, right? And it's so frustrating. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to the people at the Performance Center who might have been endangered, the police who were involved, and the young man himself who apparently is still alive but is in the hospital and not
critical,
in critical condition. So, sick, not weak. Hashtag sick, not weak. Shout out Michael Landsberg and his organizations and his work.
Just bringing it out into the public.
Yeah,
so people talk about it.
Yeah, I like to bring that up. Now, it's funny you mentioned that he was that this guy, I'll say his name, Armando Alejandro Montalvo, was obsessed with a WWE talent. Hopefully it was not Zara Schreiber.
No, but
I don't know if you've been keeping up with that storyline.
I heard about that one, and I did find out who the diva was that he was.
Oh, Sara Lee.
No.
Oh, that's sorry, that was me.
That was me. We're in talks with you in terms of keeping yourself calm down here, and you've been doing great. Keep up the good work, Alex. It was Lita, actually.
Oh, because she was the she was there.
That's she was one of the hosts, exactly.
Oh, wow. She's, you know, thank goodness, because she's probably dealt with that before.
Right.
I'm just saying, and I'm glad it wasn't one of the younger divas who might have been like, oh my gosh, what do you do with this guy? Like, she's probably like, let's...
Which still doesn't make it all right from there.
No,
right? Because you know how
horrible.
Scary it is, like, for them. And I mean, God, and they have to deal with what you and I put them through on a weekly basis, let alone having somebody...
We are borderline. Like, this podcast itself is borderline. This is all admissible evidence.
Admissible evidence, yeah. You know, borderline stalking. No, no. We don't want to make light.
No, I want to bring up the saga of Zara Schreiber. Zara Schreiber was an NXT diva in training. She hadn't made many appearances. She had made zero appearances on TV. Well, she made one appearance on TV at TakeOver.
Didn't she make lots of appearances on the internet?
She made lots of appearances on the internet. So just to bring it back a little bit, some time ago, our WWE champion Seth Rollins got into a little bit of a photo scandal when his fiance at the time found out that he was having an affair with a NXT wrestler, a woman wrestler named Zara Schreiber.
Is that a coincidence? Are there two?
Now, his fiance, you know, she may not have handled it in the most constructive, mature way. She used one of his, I believe, his Twitter account to post several pictures of him naked. Thankfully, this situation sort of blew over, and Seth didn't get in too much trouble, and apparently Zara didn't either. As far as I know, not to get too gossipy, Seth broke up his engagement. And then started dating Zara. They were seen together, actually, in the front row at TakeOver Brooklyn, which I thought was interesting. I'm like, well, okay, not a big deal. Now, Zara herself has just been released by the WWE after some unfortunate, and this is a lesson to all you youngsters out there looking to become professionals who are going to be in the public eye. She had some unfortunate tweets, I think Instagrams, I think Facebook comments, just anything with racist and homophobic slurs, and also use of Nazi imagery.
Swastikas, correct. And here's what kills me. And you are so nice. And here's the, you know, you're the new generation, I'm the old generation, right? You're the one that believes that kids shouldn't keep score when they're playing. And I'm the one that believes that.
Whoa, not at all.
Well, then
I hate the
why are you saying
thing?
That, you know, unfortunate that she got caught with it? It's not unfortunate.
It's unfortunate for the WWE. I don't know. I hate to see anyone.
I know you hate to see it,
no,
but that's
no,
my
she
point.
Got what's
see,
to her.
She got. I
she
mean,
got what's coming to her.
And I heard some comments just to tie this in with Hulk Hogan, because I'm the one that always felt, well, you know, eventually he's going to be back with the company, because I have yet to this day hear what he said. Like, I have no idea what he said, so I reserve having an opinion on whether he should have a lifetime ban or not, because I haven't heard what he said. But I was listening to a Periscope video of Bret Hart talking, and somebody asked him about Hogan. Will Hogan be back in WWE? And I was a little shocked by his answer, because I mean, I know the relationship between Hogan and Hart hasn't always been the greatest, but Hart goes, I hope he never comes back. And I went, oh, really? And he started talking about how, you know, a lot of the wrestlers, especially those that come from the South, from Florida, from Texas and Alabama, that it was not uncommon in the locker rooms to hear racist and homophobic comments, and understand that that was part of their upbringing, right? Whereas he, coming from Canada, just didn't equate to that. And so it was like he got everything he deserved. And so now I equate that to Zara going, you know, yeah, it's not unfortunate. It was stupid and wrong.
Yeah, you know, I think we're done with the Zara thing. We'll just say happy trails to Zara Schreiber.
Yep.
I do say I feel sorry for, you know who I do feel sorry for? There we go. I do feel sorry for someone.
Okay.
Seth Rollins. Because obviously this whole Zara thing happened because, you know, you're on the road. You spend time with these people who have a similar lifestyle to you, something that your civilian fiance or whatever it may be can't understand. Well, guess what? Now Zara's a civilian. I don't think this relationship will last.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. And then he's going to move on, unfortunately, to some other poor diva.
And I don't feel sorry.
I was saying poor diva. Hey, some lucky diva. I think about it.
But. And I don't feel sorry for Seth, but we'll get into that later.
Okay, we'll get into that later.
Because we still got more bad stuff to do before we get
into
the great stuff.
That I like that you started mentioning Hogan. So, yeah, the ongoing Hogan saga. Now you're right. I am the soft one. I'm of the camp that I want to forgive him. You know, I want to say his on-screen character and the work he's done for the WWE is too important to sweep under the rug. Like, one Mr. Voldemort, one who he shall not be named. And that obviously his crime is nowhere near as severe as that. However, his recent comments since being able to have a chance to speak and speak to the media just don't help him a lot. Like you said,
I didn't even hear those.
So anyway, well, he essentially what you were saying, maybe that's what Brett was talking about. Maybe that's why Brett said he should never come back. Because I don't know if this was before or after that. So he was on some TV shows and I think whatever radio shows. So his stance on it is, and it's not evil, but it's clearly ignorant. His stance on it is, well, I come from the environment where, it, like you just said, it was okay. It's okay for us to use those words. It was okay. We heard. He also used this, you know, the excuse that so many people use when they use that word. Oh, well,
they use
well,
it.
Black people call other black people by that word. And it's like, okay, one, they shouldn't either. And two, that is no justification. Okay, let me put it this way. There is no pass. Okay, there is nothing that lets you use that word. I don't know. I don't care what your association is with, you know, people of other races. There's no pass for using that word. That is it's a very strong word that is built from hate. Hatred. And if people want to use it casually, again, they shouldn't, and they shouldn't try and justify it. They should know that, again, use that word, go ahead, but know that when you use it, it's not good. Nothing makes it good.
And nothing good comes from it.
Nothing justifies it. So, again, anyone who's using that word, know that when you use it, okay?
A quick analogy to that would be the Adrian Peterson whipping his 4-year-old son.
Sure.
And I forgot which NFL commentator just went and said, look, yes, I understand, Adrian Peterson, you grew up in the environment, that's what happened to you. That's what happened to me. But you know what? 40 years have passed since then, and we've learned. You know, I love my mom. She whipped me. But I've learned a lot since then that leads me to know that this is wrong. Same thing should happen with Hogan.
Even
and
before
Rhys Cummings.
That, the Michael Vick dogfighting, he said, well, him and a lot of his associates were like, well, we come from this. And people who defended Vic were like, well, they come from that environment where this is acceptable. So, like I said, I understand the argument. But I hope that the people like Hogan and Vic and Adrian Peterson understand that while it's understandable that they learned that what they learned was wrong.
And it's still a crime.
And from this day forward to, you know, educate themselves and help to educate others. And that's it. And
still
that,
punishable. Yeah. Exactly.
And in that sense, I absolutely have forgiveness. So I hope Hogan, and someone tells Hogan, I understand why you think it's okay, but it isn't. And here's what you can do to educate yourself and to fix yourself and to make a platform for others to learn from your mistake. Do I think that's going to happen? Yeah. I think with the WWE's PR machine behind him, they know how to fix problems. Again, hopefully actually genuinely create change. I hope that the fence will be mended because it was very strange for the show to be in Tampa, for Raw to be in Tampa, and for there to be no Hogan appearance. It was felt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think one of the things that WWE has done that's going to be good in this regard is the first and foremost is distancing themselves, which they have.
Completely.
You know, They haven't gone the entire Voldemort route in terms of removing him from everything. Although I did look and see that the season 2 of WWE Supercard has no Hulk Hogan card. No. But
the ultimate insult.
The ultimate insult. But I think that just leads to, you know, going away, taking a break, removing any possible connection, eventually comes back to a day where they say, hey, you know, we grew the company together. Obviously, you were a big part of that. And then moving forward.
Yeah, there is room for forgiveness, as there always should be, barring the most heinous crimes. But yeah, and again, let's keep in mind, this is not a unilateral decision. This wasn't Vince McMahon saying, oh, we should do this. This wasn't Triple H saying, oh, we should do this. There are people above them and who work alongside them. There are people to be answered to who said, look, this is a major corporation. Right now, cut that cord.
And I'm thinking like we're talking like a few years here. Like I'm not talking like next month things get patched back together. There will definitely be a long waiting time. But that wasn't the only thing that happened as well. Unfortunately, this week, there is one more. And this was?
Well, this, again, has actually been somewhat of an ongoing thing, though now it is official. It's been an investigation for the last year or so, but now it is a charge. Now it is real. Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
The legend.
The
wrestling
legendary
legend.
Jimmy Superfly Snuka has been charged with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter in the death of an old girlfriend dating back to May 1983.
I think I'm the only one in this room that was alive at that time.
Yeah, just, yep.
Yeah, yeah. This is the first, oh, well, when I saw the, I was like, first of all, I was shocked when I saw the headline, and I went, my God, like, at his age now, like what's going on? And then I realized that this happened back in 1983. And my first reaction was like, oh, Jesus, like, what the hell are you guys doing? Bringing up, and I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, you know, somebody died here, you know, take whatever time it is. Don't have any idea in terms of what the situation was. I think he came back and she was throwing up or something of that nature and got to the hospital and then died. There was always hints that maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. In his autobiography, he wrote about how, you know, he didn't do anything and how it affected his life and his family's life. But I have no idea where to go with this. Like, I how to feel in terms of how do you prove what not? We'll just have to wait and see what happens.
First of all, I'll say they should Snuka, as long as this investigation is ongoing, get the Hogan treatment.
Well, I want to say no. I think obviously the crime of murder is, even third degree murder is, you know, up there above saying racial comments. I think I'm okay saying that. But he hasn't been charged or he hasn't been found guilty.
He's not guilty, no.
You know, I mean, I think that he doesn't make an appearance. Not that he has recently, but I don't think he makes an appearance on Raw. And it's a wait and see kind of scenario. It's not like WWE did not know that this was part of his history.
This whole thing's been a bummer. It's funny, Daria, I was telling you before the show, I really wanted to do a positivity show because I was so bummed about the revulsion and these run-ins with the law. I'll say, if there's one thing to take away, and it's always something to take away from these celebrity and, you know, athlete, whoever, dalliances, that's a nice way of putting it, with the law.
Let me be your hero.
Your heroes, don't let celebrities and athletes be your heroes, please. You know, you can watch them, you can enjoy their work. They're not your heroes. Your heroes should be people like, frankly, your parents.
Yeah, put food on your table for
you. Your family, your brother, your best friend, whoever. Those, you know, your boss at work, I don't know. You know, but it should be people that you have a close association with. You know, I gave up on people, on public figures being my heroes a long time ago, which sounds really cynical, but the truth is you don't know these people. And maybe
they're human.
Sure, they're human. Maybe you can admire what they stand for, and that's fine. That's one thing. But to say something like John Cena is my hero, I would never say that. I would never, you know, I can't.
I think it's okay for kids. And I know there's always a possibility. I think kids is okay in terms of having heroes of that nature. There's a lot of good that these people do, John
yes.
Cena being one of them. And
sure.
I'm sure there's a lot of good that Jimmy Superfly
Hulk
did,
Hogan.
That Hulk Hogan did, like with Vitamins Prayers, etc. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I agree with you. Let's move on.
Let's move on
to positivity stuff.
Okay, let's have some fun. You want to have some fun, Pop?
Let's have some fun.
I have a feeling this is still going to lead to us griping about something, but let's have some fun. Now, I'm not a fan of fantasy booking. It's not something I enjoy. I know we all love to look ahead to events and say, oh, it'd be cool if they did this, and they did this, and they did this. But we're going to do a little bit of a twist on fantasy booking now. So yesterday, we retweeted a tweet by, sorry, let me just drop his name here. Our own Rob Marsilio will enjoy this. The Romo Fan T.O. on Twitter, at TakeOverTO83, and he tweeted, random question. You're allowed to change the result of one wrestling match in history. You cannot change anything but the win-loss result. What match? There's been a few responses, some of them, most of them predictable, and I don't know how many answers he got. I haven't been checking it, but Dario, what was your initial thought?
My initial thought? I had one initial thought, which wasn't the answer I posted. My initial thought was Batista winning the Royal Rumble.
I know what you meant.
When I think everybody was pushing for a Daniel Bryan title match. Now, eventually it came to that and it got it. But I just think that having somebody else win at that point really hurt Batista. personally, I think in terms of his future in the WWE, the crowd's really reacting negatively to it.
My argument against that would be is that was really, I think they handled so much about his return wrong, and I don't know if that one match would have made that much of a difference. But what was your what was the actual response?
The one
you had
that
on
I did, because then I thought about it. Went, no, there's got to be something a bit more historical that I'd probably want to see changed, and I went back to, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the air, but the Montreal Screwjob, and Shawn Michaels defeating Bret Hart, and I would have liked to not see that happen. I know a lot of things may have happened because of that, but I think Bret Hart's career just plummeted. I know he was already planning to go to WCW at that time, and WCW, they booked him wrong. He had the problems with Goldberg, who, you know, gave him so many concussions when they wrestled together, and everything was going downhill. But I think his bitterness started from that, and what I hated about that more than anything was Bret Hart would have been my favorite wrestler of all time, but because he became so bitter about the whole screw job, I kind of lost. I didn't like him after that. Like, wow. I didn't like him, like, because all it became was about Vince this and Vince that, and he was never very. It just
also Triple H this and Triple H that,
and Shawn Michaels this and Shawn Michaels that. Yes. It was. That part of him dominated more of his career than what I remember. I mean, he used to be part of the Pink and Black Attack. He used to be part of, you know, with Mouth of the House, Jimmy Sart. He used to be the excellence of execution. And then from that moment there, I think he just fell as a superstar.
But the Shakespearean side of me loves the tragedy of this man, this pure wrestler, almost being too pure. Not like personality wise, because he was he cheated on his wife a lot, but but in ring as an artist, he was a pure artist, and for his to be so pure that he could not survive the way the business changed. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's such a great, I think there's a great narrative there. You know, like, you couldn't write a better tragedy than what happened to him. And frankly, he's had a pretty good life overall, but
right, but that's a tragedy.
It is a tragedy. The way his career ended with the WWE is unquestionably a tragedy.
If he had come back stronger and better, and well, not better, but stronger, and ended on such a high note, I would have been okay with it. But all that, I was like, his comeback was, come on, his fight against Vince. I mean,
that's horrible.
Yeah, it was past his prime. It was way too late.
So bad.
And that's my problem. Is, like, you know, they missed such a glorious opportunity to do things, and then he got sick, and unfortunately didn't wind up ending it the way it wanted to, and then the lawsuits, and then Owen's death, it was just
you know,
there's so much there.
That's really the big one. Is if somehow, I know, again, like we said, he was going to WCW either way. If somehow he had been able to stay in the WWE, I am confident. He would never have let Owen do that stunt. That's what he says in his book. Maybe he wouldn't have been able to stop it. But
I don't know.
I want to believe that.
But it was just too much. I think for him to handle, and it hurt me to see him be such a bitter man.
I think most Canadians, if they were asked this question, would agree. It was an incredibly real incident at the time. I mean, that I am amazed that those fans didn't riot, frankly, you know, at the time. Now, myself, you know, nothing comes to mind. Like, again, I don't like fantasy booking. I'm just looking at some of the responses here that Mr. Romo fan got. We have Goldberg losing to Kevin Nash at Starrcade. That was the end of the streak. His first loss in WCW. I'm down with that.
I was kind of okay with that. Because wasn't he tasered?
But that made it almost even dumber. It was so stupid. Yeah,
well,
Scott
no,
Hall
but I mean, you weren't
going
to... I mean, I always envisioned that his first loss was never going to be a clean loss anyways, right?
Yeah. Now, why to Kevin Nash? Kevin Nash, by the way, it should be noted, was the booker.
Was the booker, yeah. That part I can understand.
Someone here says Roman Reigns should have beaten Lesnar at Mania. I don't see the point of that. The Miz cashing in on Orton... So when Miz won his lone WWE title, I'm okay with that. What happened? What Cena should have beaten Miz at Mania, that the ensuing Mania. That was really weird that Miz was able to walk out with the title. I don't know what happened there. Booker Triple H. This guy says Booker and Triple H WrestleMania 19. even as someone who's a big, you know, a big Triple H critic, I don't see how, I don't know if Booker was a great choice necessarily. It did kind of kill the storyline, though, that Triple H ran him down verbally for like a month, and then, anyway.
Yeah.
I understand that.
It was, I look at that and go, I would have loved to have seen Booker with a better run, I guess, and being pushed more.
He later became King Booker. That was fantastic.
Exactly. So I don't know enough about the shenanigans behind the scenes to make a comment on that. Another one that comes to my mind, or go on, keep going.
Oh, I like this one. It's not historically significant, but it did really annoy me at the time. Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, WrestleMania 27.
Cole won that one, right?
I think they reversed the decision or something. I think Lawler was like beating, like, you know, Lawler essentially pinned him and then like beat him up after. But technically, it, you know, Michael Cole got the last laugh, which was senseless because it had been one of the longest buildups to a match, and I don't know why, for the longest time. And he was running down the roster. He's running down, you know, eventually it was just Lawler who stepped up to make him shut up. And then to have a weird twist ending just for no purpose. Not to mention the match was not as one-sided as it should have been. It was weird. It was as badly handled as the Brett-Vince fiasco.
I remember talking to an ex-girlfriend of mine about the whole Daniel Bryan in terms of like getting beat up and beat up and beat up and beat up. And she was going, I can't stand it. I can't stand that they would do something like this. That, you know, this isn't just a wrestling match. They have a 3-on-1 mugging. You know, why are they putting this TV? And I told her, I said, just wait. And then at WrestleMania, I said, look. And she watched WrestleMania, loved it, and went, here's your payoff. Okay? This payoff doesn't make you feel as good if you didn't witness the muggings and the beatings week after week kind of thing. Like, that's what wrestling is, right? You just turn. You need that payoff at the end. Never got that fully with the Cole Lawler. No. And that's where I would agree with that. There was no big payoff.
Yeah.
When you're talking about champions, and I think probably we want to end off on this one. I know how much you hate saying popular, right? So you understand why I feel when I say, damn it, Alex, you're right. But Seth Rollins as the whiny, cowardly champion is phenomenal. And the and kudos to him. This is where before I said, you know, I don't feel sorry for Seth Rollins. I don't feel sorry for Seth Rollins because he has been bestowed with the honor. And that is correct. It is an absolute freaking honor for him at Night of Champions to not only face John Cena, but to face Sting. Two of those matches in one night, you know, truly only immortal legends get that kind of opportunity. And he does deserve a statue, especially if he pulls it off.
I don't know where I stand on him defending both belts. I think logically he would lose the US and then defend the WWE championship. Is that fair to say?
If you think that this isn't Sting's run.
Like it's his time. Like, I think I vaguely recall bringing this up on the last show, but just again, in storyline purposes, it would be interesting to hold it for, give it to him for a month and then have him lose it back, either back to Seth or, well, I was going to say, I hope, please, no Sheamus. Sheamus, Vince, I'm talking to you, man. Sheamus is not winning the belts off this cash-in. He's not.
What's the next pay-per-view?
After Night of Champions?
Yeah, it's October, right? That's the big one, right?
Golly. You've stumped me, sir.
It's the Thanksgiving. No. When Survivor Series? Survivor Series is November.
Night of Champions is followed by... Night of Champions is followed by Hell in a Cell, October 25th.
Okay. And then Survivor Series is usually in November.
American Thanksgiving.
Because again, you know, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, those are the big three. And I would love to see him win. And then somebody has to bring it back to the authority.
Kane, Sting, dream match. We all know. We might never get Sting Undertaker.
Triple H, again.
Oh, that SOB. If he
Which
did that.
Which will then lead into the Seth Rollins Triple H feud. That, I don't know.
In the long run, let me tell you something. As infuriating as it would be for me to see Triple H get that belt back, I want to see the Seth Rollins Triple H feud. I think they could have an amazing, amazing match with a hot storyline behind it.
Oh. Out pedigree each other. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I don't see how they can't at least have a match. They have to. The use of the pedigree thing is, I think, is really cool. Now I'm excited. Now, see, you know what? We're ending on a positive note. WD, there's.
I told you. I told you we would bring us around. I told you we would. Because I think, and again, fantastic. I love the whole segment with Seth and with Stephanie. Like I said, I was curious as to why Triple H wasn't there, because he could do a phenomenal job. Didn't realize, obviously, he had these legal issues to deal with. But what a great scene, him in the ring looking at both belts, and up on the stage is John Cena and Sting going, yeah. And I went, wow, what an honor. What an absolute honor to be chosen to have to face both of them.
Yeah, I'm glad. I read this somewhere that maybe, like, wouldn't he have logically vacated the belt? I'm glad he didn't. Maybe, here's the other thing. Maybe he defends both and then vacates the belt on Raw.
You mean wins both matches?
What did I just say? Vacates both?
Yeah.
I'm losing my
mind. He
defends both.
He defends both.
Anyway.
Well, he's defending both regardless.
Yeah. Maybe somehow he wins both matches, and then on Raw he says, I'm the only man to hold both titles. I'm the only man to defend them both in the same night. Like, I have nothing left to achieve with this belt. I'm opening up the Seth Rollins invitation, my own Seth Rollins Invitational, where I, you know, tournament for 8 people.
And he handpicks them. And then that could be the return of Kane, and Kane wins it. If he's, no, Kane, they hate each other.
Kane, J&J Security. Please give me a J&J. Like, it should be a handicap.
We're
be
still waiting for the J&J t-shirts. And where are
J&J? Are they actually not J&J Security?
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Oh, one last note about merchandise. I'm going to just squeeze in just a last little tidbit here. Do you know what female wrestler is number one in merchandise sales right now?
Oh, right at the moment?
Yes.
Sasha.
No, I. You know, it's actually who you think it would be. It is Bayley.
Bayley?
Yes.
The NXT champion.
I know. Apparently, obviously, here's the thing is, she has a lot of what they would call gimmicks. She has what, like a headband? Oh, she has the friendship bracelets, and I guess a couple of t-shirts, and I guess a headband or something. Now, the funny thing is, though, I think in the store, I was reading this report, so in the store, she has something like less than 10 different merchandise items, though. Like I said, she has a lot of gimmicks, but really, it's only like 5 or 6 different ones. It's just they're cheap and they're easy to sell. And it's easy for people to wear them.
You mean it's not $40 for a t-shirt?
I think it's $40 for a friendship bracelet.
Okay.
Someone like a Nikki Bella, who I think is obviously in the top 5, I think they said she has 80-something different pieces of Bella-related merchandise. Or maybe, the two of them combined. Sorry, the Bella twins combined. 80-something pieces. So, they've got something there with Bayley. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, and it might be just the price point range, because I remember taking them up and they're going, my boys to a house show, right? And going, oh, daddy, can I have a Sincara mask? Yeah, sure, it's only $7. I'll get you a Sincara. We'll get two. We'll get, oh, that's $70. Oh, $70. Okay, boys, how about some popcorn?
Yeah, I don't know if the chart is based on total gross or units moved. It's probably units moved, because that would explain a lot of friendship bracelets, a lot of bandanas, a lot of, you know.
Yeah, but the price ranges are, whew.
Yeah, so there you go. Ending on some positive notes, Bayley and Seth Rollins and things like that.
One thing,
Pop, go ahead.
If you can check out, there is a back and forth tweets between Sasha and Bayley that was hilarious. Talking about, oh, you know, friends or something like that. And then Sasha replied back, yeah, but, you know, or Bayley goes, yeah, but, you know, here's you tapping out or something like that. And she posts a picture of her having Sasha and the thing. And then Sasha replies back, oh, yeah, here's, you know, you. And this is when she's has her in the submission move and is stomping on her hand, going, you know. And they were back and forth. And it was great because they're showing them beating up on each other, but it had this friendly tone to it. That was like, that was great. I loved it.
It's very much like our friendship, Pop, where we verbally beat up on each other.
A tongue lashing. Wait, that came out.
No, it seems like today. It seems like today we really beat up more on the WWE than each other, which I think is good.
No, it's actually scary. It's actually no, scary in the sense that, you know, people listen to this would get arrested because we didn't beat up on the WWE. We beat up on the WWE women, which is never a good thing to do.
Why do you say that? Well, hopefully...
you spend half an hour criticizing the Divas, and rightfully so.
Hopefully our own Connor Doran will be back soon, and we will team up and beat up on him.
And Alex called it the Diva Revulsion.
Hashtag Diva Revulsion. Hashtag Rusev, Sarah Lee,